Bless him. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 7.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, and which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read out of thy word of those who may experience in their own soul that blessed joy at thy coming into this world. And then they may also behold that child. And they may also go by faith into that low place, where they may see, where they may behold, where they may believe, where they may worship thee in spirit and in truth. And then thou didst give unto them at the beginnings of the eternal joy, with which thy church will glorify thee forever and forever. Oh, that we and our dear children may be so jealous of that portion, that we may also be brought to that low place. Because we have read also of others that have heard it out of the mouth of those shepherds. Oh, then others did wonder, but we do not read that they went. Oh, Lord, wilt thou show to us what our wretched condition is, that we may not just hear it this day with our ears, but that it may be brought further into our hearts, that we may not be able any more to let thee go, except that thou would bless also us and our dear children. Instruct us then in the knowledge of ourselves, which we need more and more, that we may be broken down in self, that we may be taken off of all of our false foundations on which we rely for that never-ending eternity, that we may be given to dig deep and there to be grounded and founded upon that solid rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, that he may become our all and in all. Then he needs to be revealed unto us. Then he needs to be shown to us. Then we need to be given faith and exercise. That is thy work, the work of thy Holy Spirit. This we beseech of thee once again in this day, and that thou mayst send him forth to us and to our dear children, and that we may not be left only to ourselves, left to hear the outward preaching and to bring the outward preaching, and left without thy Spirit in our soul. Lord, instruct thou us from heaven, and keep us from ourselves, else we work out our own destruction. Oh, remember us then with all our loved ones, wherever that they may be. Also, when there are those in our midst that do mourn their loved ones, or that it can be that they have passed away out of this life. But Lord, it can be that they are still in this life, and that as parents they mourn when our children have left the truth, when they are walking wayward, when they have no more desire for that instruction of their youth. Lord, wilt thou bring them back? Oh, show them the vanity of all that is here below. And may it be in this special day that thou may bring them to remember something of their youth, that they may see the vanity of how that the world commemorates this day, and that they may be drawn to that precious substance which can be found in thy holy word. Oh, give to parents wisdom. We are only so foolish. We do not know how to bring up our children, but make us faithful. Make us diligent. Give us wisdom. Give us grace, and work in their young hearts while it is still called today. Be with all the afflicted and the sick ones, and those that are not able to gather with us for whatever reason that it must be this day, those in the hospitals, Those that have difficulties of the body, be with all widows, widowers and orphans. Remember in every trial which may be upon us, which we must suffer in this life, each home and each heart with its own cross. But oh, may it be to lead us even to the foot of thy cross, which thou didst carry, that thou may, as that innocent one, take away the cause of all that misery. Oh, that thou would give then a blessing this day. Remember the missionaries, those that are far from their loved ones in this time of commemoration, when we may meet with our loved ones. Lord, wilt thou be near to them, and wilt thou supply for them far away, and wilt thou give that it may be good, even to be in the place where they are, that thou may give thy blessing, which is above every blessing, thy comfort and thy presence, which is above all the comfort and presence of all those whom we love. And be with those that mourn, those that have, that miss their loved ones. Even in these days, wilt thou strengthen in mercy. Give us to bear one another up under all these burdens. And wilt thou be with us in this afternoon hour, for a few moments once again, and when thy word is to go forth. Lord, help us. Give unto us thy grace. Give unto us thy Spirit in an undeserved way, and all that we may feel something of that true humiliation, when thou wilt out of thy free and thy sovereign mercy, and thou wilt minister unto us out of thy fullness, grace for grace, in the preaching and in the hearing. Be thou among us, we ask it, in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear, and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship Him as God alone. Psalter 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, our text for this afternoon hour you can find in the portion that was read to you out of Luke chapter 2, and thereof the 14th verse, only the middle part. Luke 2, verse 14, the middle part, the words, "And on earth peace." So far, the words of our text. Peace on earth. First, what this peace is. Second, how this peace is attained. And third, how this peace is received. Peace on earth, first, what it is. Second, how it is attained. And third, how that this peace is received. And on earth, peace. Who says this? That is part of the song of the angels. That is the heavenly song. Thus, they are words that come from the Lord Himself. And then they sing about peace. What is that peace? In an outward way, we have peace when we as a nation are not at war. Thus, when there are no fightings, there are no disputings. Inwardly, there is peace when there is no mental anxiety, when there is calmness, when there is a serenity in our heart. What a blessed thing that peace is. We can read of David, he says, "How good and pleasant it is that brethren should dwell together in unity, that is, that they dwell together in peace." And on earth, peace. Thus the angels, they are singing about peace on the earth. That is, peace in this world. We don't see that so much. We don't see that so much outwardly. We don't detect that so much inwardly. We don't see that so much between men. We don't perceive that so much within men. It is not so much in the world. It is not so much in the heart. Now we see just the opposite. We see wars. We see fightings. We see domestic abuses. We detect so much anxiety and misery even in the minds of men in this world. And on earth, peace. Sometimes then the anti-war activists are staging protests against the war within Iraq. That is nothing new, because some are against all war. They are the pacifists, even as the Anabaptists, refusing to participate in all war, saying that the Lord has said that there ought to be peace on the earth. We may not fight. When the Lord Jesus was born, as we can read it in this chapter, then it was in a time of peace. Then everything was under the subjection of one rule, that was of the Roman Empire. And yet there was not true peace. And why was there not true peace? Because there was an outward peace, but there was no peace within the heart of those Jews. No, because the Jews hated the Romans. And they hated to be underneath their yoke. So within their heart, there was always dwelling a rebellion, so that their hearts and they were boiling against the Romans. Thus, an outward peace that is not always along with an inward peace. And we live in a land and in a time of peace, and we may very highly value this. And yet, congregation, is there really peace? Is there peace even as a people? Is there peace even as a nation? Is there not also much anxiety? And when there is always the fear of the enemy, when we never know when that enemy will strike, when there is always preparation, always looking, will he come from this side? Will he come from that side? What will be the next weapon? What will be the next ingenuity that enemy is going to use? And on earth, peace. There is a call for world peace, world peace organizations. We must solve all of our disputes in a political way. We must have a United Nations. There must be toleration. It all has to be at the best interest of all of those parties that are involved. Well, in an outward way, yes. Or we would rather that we spoke to one another, yes, than that we fought with one another. The congregation, when we are looking to such organizations, that they may bring that peace into this world, then we are so sadly mistaken. It is impossible. Because it is based on an entirely false and wrong foundation. Some say there is a time of peace that is coming in this world, a millennium, 1,000 years wherein the godly shall rule along with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true. That Satan is bound, that he is not able to incite the nations, that he may persecute God's people unto blood, that the Lord is giving, that is the time that we are living in, and that the word of God that may go forth as never before in the world, to all the nations that have never heard that message that we may have in this day. Thus Satan bound for 1,000 years, Satan bound for a full period of time known by the Lord himself. And yet we do not read of peace. But we read in the Word of God of woe upon woe until the Lord Jesus is coming again to judge the quick and the dead. And there are but lulls in that storm that Satan is bringing against that true church of God. We can read of John that he has seen a red horse. And that man that was sitting upon that red horse was given power by the Lord to take peace from off the earth and that men should kill one another. The Lord Jesus has spoken to his disciples so clearly about wars, about rumors of wars. And that there will be a great tribulation for that true church of God. What did he say about peace? Oh, then he says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance with his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the foes shall be those of a man's own household. And when we look in the history of the church of God, so we can see the Lord has given fulfillment also of those things that the Lord Jesus has spoken unto his disciples. Is there never peace on the earth? Oh, in many places there is. Even as the days we can read of here, as these days of Caesar Augustus. And yet, what do we read here? Then we read here about the shepherds. And then we read that these shepherds, they are sore afraid. They have fear. How can that be? Is that fear then consistent with that time in which these shepherds are living in that dominion of the Roman Empire? Are they then free from all anxiety within their heart? Are they then free from all distress of mind? How can it be that we read here that these shepherds are afraid? If they live in a time of peace, then who is it that these shepherds fear so much? Oh, then these shepherds, they fear God. What do we read? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Thus it is, the divine majesty, the glory of the Lord, we read, that is shining round about these shepherds. And that glory of the Lord does make these shepherds fear, does make them quake. Oh, then they are, boys and girls, we can read what will happen when the end of the world shall be, and when the Lord will be coming to judge the quick and the dead, and when the Lord will appear unto us also. And what does he say? Will be the desire of men, and that will be to beseech, to actually pray to the mountains and to the hills, to fall on us and to hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Thus, the fear, no, they did not fear any man here, but there is a fear and a trembling of God himself. That is not the first time we read this in the Bible. No, we can read that many times when the angels of the Lord would appear also unto God's children, that they feared and that they quaked. We cannot stand before that holy majesty of God. Where did that begin? That began already in paradise. There, our first parents, when the Lord has descended, when the Lord has called Adam, where art thou? Then where was he? Then he was hiding. Or trying to hide himself from the face of the Lord. Then Adam says it himself. He says, I heard thy voice. And he says, I was afraid. Oh, what has disturbed the peace? What has disturbed the rest? Wherewith Adam was created, wherewith he could walk with God day by day in that garden, and that he was not afraid. what has destroyed and turned everything so upside down. That was sin. That was guilt that he cannot in peace anymore stand before that holy and the living God. Sin. Thus it was also for those shepherds. Oh, when there had been no sin, then there had been no fear. Then they had not been afraid. Why is it we are so afraid to die? When there is so much misery in this life, it is because we have to stand before that judgment seat of God. On earth, peace. That was the divine song of the angels. It was a song not written, young people, by men. Maybe the songs that you love to listen to, I hope not. Oh, here is a song that come from God Himself. Spoke about peace. Oh, that is not peace just between men, no. But it is speaking about peace with God. Oh, there cannot be peace with men except there first be peace with God. This is that which unites that true church of God. And everything outside of this is a peace that is based upon a false, upon a sandy foundation. The UN cannot give this world peace unless it leads us back to God, unless it leads us back to the law of God. Toleration, which is taught there, toleration that can never lead to a true peace. No, that is only a bearing with one another. But it has no good, it has no sound foundation. No, there is one God. And there is only one true church. And every man in this world owes a complete allegiance to his Maker and to his Creator. And except we come into that blessed union and with that true and that living God, then there can never be peace within the heart of man, and there can never be peace upon this world. All that is not peace, and that is spread, as Islam says, by a holy war. No, it is a peace which the Lord has spread and will spread by the preaching of His holy gospel. So we read of the beginning of this. It is the angels of God themselves. And they may preach that message. And on earth, peace. O congregation, what did the Lord Jesus say to His disciples? He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All that is peace with God. And that peace with God, that is taking away all the fear in the heart of men. And therefore also those angels, They are coming to those shepherds and they are speaking about this peace when they are sore afraid. And what do they say to those shepherds? Then they say to them, "Fear not." Oh, then there is no reason to fear anymore when there may be peace with God. Paul says a peace which passes all understanding. That means a peace which the mind is not able to comprehend, that the mind itself is not able to understand. No, a peace which needs to be experienced within the heart. Oh, it is good when there may be peace with men. You and I may feel that. Oh, congregation, if that may be good, then how good must it be when there is peace between God and our soul? Oh, if it is pleasant when brethren dwell in unity, when brethren dwell in peace, oh, then how pleasant it must be when we may be at peace with our Maker, with our Creator. Is there now a people that look for that peace? Is there now a people who desire that peace with God? What is then necessary? We hear that in our second thought, how this peace is attained and on earth. Peace, that is the song of the angels. When? It is their song, congregation, at the incarnation of the Son of God. And on earth, peace. Thus, the angels are speaking about something. And they speak about the purpose that this child is born. This is the decree of that triune God, that through that child, that God is going to make peace. Oh, see what an everlasting love that the Lord has for His own church. See what an extent that the Lord has gone unto, that the Lord may make peace, and that the Lord may be at peace with His own people. The Lord knew that man was going to destroy all that peace that He had created him in paradise. By sinning against Him, the Lord has decreed to send His only begotten Son, that He may establish an everlasting and an unbreakable peace with His church. And therefore Paul calls Him the God of peace. May the God of peace, he says, be with you all. Amen. And thus, congregation, then we speak here today about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that name of Christ that is upon the lips of so many people. But now, Christ has also a purpose. And what is that purpose? Christ has this end, that is, that He may make peace between God and the soul of His children. Thus, who is Christ? Christ is therefore the mediator. Christ is therefore come to bring two parties back together again. That is, an angry God against the people who have sinned against him. And now we have one question for you this afternoon. Is that the reason that you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it that sin has made a separation between God and your soul? And that the wrath of God is upon you as a child of disobedience? Is that the reason? Or do we not know why that we need and why that we say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not know anything of that purpose that the Lord Jesus has come into this world? Do we have no need for a mediator? Or do we end in the Lord Jesus? Or he is not an end in himself? And when there is nothing that comes before the knowledge of him, that is the knowledge of our separation from our Maker, and then we do not truly need him in his mediatorial labors as he has come for on this in this world. Oh, he has made peace in order that he may bring these two separated parties back together. Is that separation then congregation the burden that lays in our heart? Is that the reason that we cannot find rest in the night? Is that the reason that we go bowed down over this world? Or has there ever come a need for him in his blessed mediatorial office? And on earth, peace. Oh, does that speak unto your soul? And that your soul may with the men of Emmaus burn within you. And that you say, Lord, that I may also know that peace. And that peace with thee. Oh, how was that peace made? Oh, we heard that in the fullness of time, God sending forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. Why? Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons to be brought back again into that blessed relationship, Father and Son. Oh, he has made that peace. How? By taking upon himself that human nature, that form of a servant, being made in the likeness of a man, being found in the fashion of a man, humbling himself, becoming obedient even unto death, or coming as a sacrifice for sin. That was the wisdom of the Father in sending his Son. What is Paul saying? Say, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. That is the purpose. And on earth, peace. Boys and girls, when you have been naughty and you have to come to your father or to your mother, then you have no peace, do you? No, then in your heart you tremble, maybe, that you don't even dare to look up. You don't dare to look your father in the eye or your mother. Oh, do you ever feel how that sin takes away all your peace and how it takes away all your rest? But boys and girls, oh, when you have not sinned, when there is nothing in between, and when you have not transgressed, then what? Then how may you come to Father? Then how may you come to Mother? Oh, we say, then it is so different. Then it is so blessed. Oh, then it is so nice. Yes. Then there is peace, is there not? Then there is peace in your heart. Oh, boys and girls, what would it be now when we could come and we could stand before God in such a way? You say, is that possible? Oh, yes, that is possible. Oh, we can be so afraid to die. But you know, it is possible, and that we are not afraid to die anymore. It is possible that we are able to come into that great judgment of God, to stand there with no fear in our heart, with no trembling, no, to come there and to stand with such peace before that awful judgment seat of God. How is that possible? Oh, it is possible when there is no sin. Or when there is no sin that is between God and you. Or you say, I have sinned. Yes, that is done. That is with all of us. But now when the Lord will not impute that sin, and when the Lord will not write that sin on your account anymore, oh, then it is just as if you had never committed one sin in your whole life. Then your conscience that is completely clear, then you can stand before your judge without fear, in rest and in peace. Oh, what is necessary for that? Then it is necessary for all that sin that has taken place with these hands and with these feet and with these eyes and ears, all that sin that dwells in this heart, oh, then it is necessary for all that sin to be written on the account of that child that was born for that purpose in that manger of Bethlehem. And when the Lord, he will look upon you through that Son of God, and when all the righteousness of that child who has dwelt in his life in perfect obedience and had never to fear the wrath of his Father, when all that righteousness, when that is written on your account, and when you then through him may experience that there is no more wrath, when he is looking upon his only begotten Son, and when he is saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when he is taking with him his whole church, that the Lord is, and that he is bringing that church before the face of his Father, as that church for whom he has paid that full price, then congregation, then there is peace. Our God, he is a consuming fire. Oh, he was a consuming fire to that Son of God upon that awful and that cursed tree. When he had to cry out because of the effects of sin, because of sin itself laid upon him from his church, when he had to cry out under that sin, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, then there was no peace, because the Father could not look upon his Son in that state of humiliation, no. When he had the sin of that church laid so heavy upon him, then he had to be outside of that felt presence and communion with the Father. And so he had to experience the anguish and the agony that was due to the sin of his own church. Why? Oh, so that there may be peace on the earth through that Lamb that was slain from that foundation of the world. Oh, it was for the shepherds. Oh, yes, it was for the shepherds. And it is for that true church of God. And yet, we read that those shepherds, they are sore afraid. How is that? Oh, they are sore afraid until something happens, until the Lord is speaking that peace unto their soul, until the Lord is coming in their life, and until the Lord, in a personal way, is saying unto those shepherds, fear not. Let us sing first. Psalter 263, stanzas 1 and 2. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He has brought salvation, he has made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. 1 and 2 of Psalter 263.
Thank you.
Congregation, there is an objective work of God in the salvation of His church. And then there is also a subjective work, that is that work that takes place within the heart of His own children. Thus the Lord has made peace. Then there was the reason that the angels may sing on the birth of the Lord Jesus in this world and on earth, peace. But then there also must come the application of that peace within our heart, else we have no benefit therefrom. The whole world is in a natural sense looking for peace. But congregation, it is impossible when we remain at enmity with God. There is a philosophy of this world that says you have to be at peace with yourself. You must come to know yourself. You must come also to accept yourself the way that you are, to be pleased with yourself, and that even after our deep fall, that is, to accept the way that you feel, even if, well, you have some wicked and evil tendencies within yourself. Be at peace within yourself. Yes, you must meditate. You must practice yoga, relaxation techniques. You have to be at peace with your surroundings. They are actually God. Oh, how much false peace that there is in this world. There is so much false peace in this world, even living without God, even in an outright denial of the Lord, that we eat and we drink because tomorrow we die. Man is laughing. He is even says to use laughter in order that you may relax. Oh, congregation, be careful. Because Solomon writes in the Word of God that even in laughter there is heaviness. Oh, the end of that mirth, he says, is heaviness. So, oh, that may make us young people for a little while to forget all our cares, but it does not give us true peace. Oh, there is so much false peace even in confession of God. So much false peace in the way of religion. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. So much resting upon promises and that are written in the Word of God and that have never been applied to our soul. A rejoicing in that birth of the Son of God, who was never born within our own heart. Oh, then we all want the blessings. No one wants to be excluded from those blessings. But our heart that is so deceitful above all things. Well, what an awful thing that it is to live in this world with a false peace. An awful thing that was when those of Judah were listening to the false prophets saying that the enemy is not going to come anymore and that the Egyptians are going to overthrow them, that he will not come anymore to our gates. A false peace. But soon they saw that enemy and that he had surrounded those walls of Jerusalem once again. And so Paul says, when they are crying, peace and safety, then sudden destruction is coming upon them. It was also with the Jews in the destruction of Jerusalem, when they hold themselves up in that city, expecting that the Lord was going to come to deliver them from that enemy. But it was a false peace. It was a false resting ground. Oh, they were sincere, yes, plenty sincere, but they were so sincerely wrong. Oh, you say, how do I know? How do I know that that peace that is a true peace? Well, congregation, what kind of a peace do you look for? Do you go to the source of all unrest? And what is the source of all unrest? That is that broken relation with our Maker. Oh, is this then something that you have seen and felt in your life? Because then first we must see and feel that there is no peace. That is the reality. When we are born into this world in a broken covenant, then truly there is and there can be no peace. Oh, did we ever feel something of that wrath of God, the displeasure of God, because of our own sin, because of our own guilt? Did we ever see why that we were sent out of paradise? Not only our first parents, but we included because of our rebellion. Do we ever see ourselves as that rebellious creature who has broken that blessed communion and peace with our Maker? Or is that now the burden of our heart? Then the Lord, He is not in a hurry. Because what does our flesh want to do? It wants soon to help itself out of that burden. Then we are taking a text out of that Word of God. And we are speaking peace unto ourselves. Oh, what does man never do? He never takes one of the curses out of the Word of God and applies that to himself, no? Oh, the Lord, congregation, is not in a hurry. No, we are in a hurry. And why is the Lord not in a hurry? Because there is so much that the Lord needs to teach us. And all that instruction of the knowledge of ourself that is coming in that time of waiting. Isaac says to Jacob, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? It was not natural. He's lived a long time. And he knew it did not come so easy. Oh, he said, something must be wrong unless there was something very special from the Lord. Oh, the Scriptures, they are full of examples of a waiting people, a waiting church. And now when the Lord comes, then the Lord is speaking to His people. Congregation, do we still believe this? That the Lord is speaking unto His people. The true church does not need to grab anything out of that Word of God, because the Lord is speaking His Word to their soul. And the Lord is using His Word. When it is not out of the Word of God, then we may surely question whether it is from the Lord. But the Lord is bringing that Word not to our audible ear only, no, But the Lord is speaking that word with power to the soul of His church. The Lord is making room for it. The Lord is giving a solution to a burden that He Himself has placed on the soul of that people. And then the Lord is speaking. What do we read here that the Lord says? He says, Unto you is born this day a Savior. That was so personal. And now the modern Christianity among which we live in our days does not want to receive this anymore. Young people, listen a moment. No, they say that is mysticism. But it is not true. No, we can try to hold on to everything in ourselves. But what is experience, congregation? Experience is just that. That we may know it. It is so real. Spiritual life. And that is more than notion. And when the Lord is coming and when the Lord is speaking in a personal way in the heart of His children, then it will be as we read here with these shepherds. And what do we read? We read the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Oh, did you ever feel that? When the Lord is speaking, then you will also have an impression of the presence of the Holy God that will make you to stand in awe. What did Jacob say? He says, how dreadful is this place? He felt it. The awe. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord spoke to him. This is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. Then the Lord, you will feel it. Then you will feel that the Lord, He is so close to you, congregation. So close. And if the Lord draws so close to us, where do you think we go? Then we go in the dust. There is nothing that brings us lower in this world than when the Lord will speak. Then we come melted in true humility before that holy and that righteous God. Oh, when the Lord is speaking, then the Lord is giving faith to believe, to receive that word that He is speaking to our soul. We read that of the shepherds. Then they don't say, let us go to see if this thing has really come to pass. No, then they say, let us go. And we will see this thing which is come to pass. Then there will be a certainty which is felt in the exercise of faith. When the Lord is coming, when the Lord is appearing unto His church. Oh, then there will be also, as we read with these shepherds, a great joy. That is not the joy, young people, that you can know by all the so-called pleasures of this world. No. That is such a different joy. What is that joy? We read it in the Word of God. It is the joy we read. We were like them that dream.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of his people, we were like them that dreamed. Oh, that through faith to receive the word of God in all its certainty makes that people to rejoice. Oh, that through faith that is recognizing the voice of the Lord, they may know that it is from him. John the Baptist leaped in the womb of his mother. And when that sound of that voice of Mary was heard. Oh, one more thing. What is that? When the Lord is coming, when the Lord is speaking, oh, what will you then experience in your own soul? That is peace. A peace congregation that we cannot describe to you. What kind of peace is that? It is peace with God. Peace with God. How is that peace coming about? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. No, we don't say they know that at that moment, no. But that is the source of that peace. And then there is a level plain. Peace with God. Nothing. Nothing between God and my soul. And on earth, peace. It is there. It is the beginning. It is by moments. The knowledge of an everlasting and an eternal peace that will be enjoyed by the people of the Lord. People of the Lord, do you not know? A moment of that peace in your own life. We do not say that this is your home now. This is not the eternal rest for God's church. It is a warfare. It is a church militant. Until when? Till the last breath. But there will be a little taste of that true peace in the life of his people. The Lord is such a surprising God. And he is coming when we least expect him to come. Maybe as we are doing our labors, even as those shepherds. When we are taken up with our honest calling in this life. And when we have thought that in such a place that the Lord could never come in the night. When it is dark within my soul. When I cannot see how that the separation between God and my soul can ever be taken away. And when that is the burden that I go over this world with in my life, and then suddenly, then the Lord is shining with his light into my soul, all that heavenly in shining of his grace. Oh, then he came to those shepherds and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And why? Because unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, we really came to the disciples. They are in an upper room together. And he speaks to them. Peace, he says. Peace be unto you. What did he show them? His hands and his side. He showed them how it is possible that there can be peace between God and their own soul. Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled.
who believe in God, believe also in me. There is peace on the earth in the exercise of true saving faith. Oh, do we know one moment? Do we know one moment, congregation, of that peace? Then all the earth is worth nothing to us anymore. All then it is worth nothing. And all this world that can rage on every side. But the Lord, when he gives peace unto his people, then the Lord says they shall not be afraid of the terror by night and of the arrow that flieth by noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he knew a peace within his own soul. Oh, do we know the smallest part of that blessed, blessed peace? Oh, may the Lord break through for that church congregation that may be waiting and that may be longing, that you also may experience what that peace is. Oh, then he speaks amongst the raging of the waves, and he says, peace, be still. Congregation, how is it with us by nature? All by nature, we read the way of peace they have not known. Is that not the truth? The way of peace we don't know. And we are seeking it here. And we are seeking it there. And in another place. But we miss the child. Then as we have heard a little bit, oh, to see that child, then we need not to come high, no. We need to come low. May the Lord instruct us. Oh, may the Lord give us to seek for that peace above all the things that are in this world, that we may begin to know it in this life. And that we may know that peace forever and forever in eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou art a wonder-doing God. And we may acknowledge Thee for all that Thou hast given in these days, that Thou hast helped us through, and that Thy word may be brought. But Lord, oh, may it be for a blessing. Wilt Thou be the after speaker? Oh, that we may go to our place now. And when we have to miss that peace, oh, may it bring us in our inner chamber with a holy jealousy, and that we may have an unrest in our soul until we may know that peace with God. Remember us together. Forgive our many, many sins. Be with all the afflicted. Help us this week in all the labors of our hands. Be with us also when we hope to come together with the little children in the week to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 312, stanzas 1 through 4. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 1 through 4 of Psalter 312.
ground. My heart was full of grief. Then to the Lord I made my prayer, that He would send relief.
The Lord is just. Though I was poor and weak, return unto thy rest, my soul. No longer trouble be. The Lord sustains thee and has dealt most graciously with thee. Called from home, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye high.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.